Now, before we get to the Sunday evening video essay address, there's something I need to mention. If you haven't already started following me on Twitter, those of you who are pulling up the rear, that's where you can make sure that no matter what, you always stay in the loop. Because as white supremacy intensifies its efforts against the new voices of black media, you better believe that whatever outlets you think you're able to find us on, these places are going to start coming under attack. So if you don't want to be one of those people who goes, "Professor, glad you're back," and proving in the process that you don't know how to stay up to date, you can avoid that embarrassment by making sure that you stay ready so you ain't gotta get ready. The link, of course, is below. Now, let's talk about this whole black media thing. Why is the black media coming under attack hard and heavy like it has in the last 10 days or so? It's because the white media is attempting to fulfill their function, and that is to promote a particular value system. That's their main function. They've got many functions, but the primary one is to promote a particular value system. Well, the problem is if you got competing voices out there who happen to be telling people the truth, well, your value system isn't going to be terribly acceptable to the masses. It's not going to be terribly attractive to them because they've already been told about a far better alternative. And who exactly decides what the values are that the white media chooses to promote? Whoever owns the media disseminating those value systems. That's who decides it. The new voices of black media have initiated a paradigm shift, one meant to put us, black people whose ancestry goes back to the American plantations, in the driver's seat. This development is the greatest threat white supremacy has faced since the Moorish invasion, and it's got white power at all levels scared in their boots. Right now, they're trying to distract themselves with all sorts of diversions and happy talk, but they see this as a growing threat, and they don't know how to deal with it. Sun Tzu said that in order to have an adequate defense, you must have that which cannot be attacked. That's the reason why, as the black media, we are interested in promoting a leading ideology, but not any particular leader. There may be leading voices in the black empowerment sphere, but there's nobody who is the leader. The ideology is the leader. And what we do is, like any good religion, yes, I use the word, this is our religion. Like any good religion, you make sure that nobody comes along trying to lead people astray. Nobody comes along trying to change what is holy writ. That's the entire point. That's what it is that we do. We're not saying we're the leader. What we're saying is this is our ideology. We are going to be promoting it and expressing it aggressively. We will not be compromising on one jot nor tittle of it. And we're going to also make sure that you remain constantly in the loop. You're going to be constantly given more of this every day. You require the daily support and reinforcement of what we all know to be the truth. White supremacy sees that a day of reckoning is just over the horizon and getting closer every day. As the presidential election begins to swing into full gear, it's going to be time for the country to see that white supremacy doesn't have things under control. In other words, white supremacy doesn't have the former slaves under control. And it's the white media's job to be able to put out the lies that are meant to get us to restrain and to rein in ourselves. That's where white media comes in. Daily indoctrination. The white media is scared to death. We are slowly but surely rendering them impotent. And you can tell that they're scared. The white power in general is scared of what's going on, what we're doing, by what's happened in the last week alone. Two of my channels taken down, one right after the other. Tariq banned from the United Kingdom. When they allow blatant white supremacists like Steve Bannon and Donald Trump in, and it wasn't because of anything that Tariq did, is because of the fact, as far as they're concerned, white supremacy is going to be on the march worldwide. Nobody can be out there saying you don't have to sit on your hands and let white supremacy wipe you out. That's not a message that YouTube wants to be disseminated. That's not a message that Google, which happens to be the tech arm of white supremacy, that's not a message that they want being spread. The message that they want is, well, you have to do what white supremacy says, and you can't really get out of hand because, well, white power wouldn't like that. So the attacks that have been coming against black media, this is white power sending us a message. They hear us and they fear us. They fear the black media. Up until now, they had their own hand-picked bootlicks pretending to speak for us. The white media controlled all the avenues of mass expression. They had a total and complete monopoly, top to bottom, because there was no way for a voice of black empowerment to be heard by a mass audience. There was no need to crush anyone, because no one had enough reach to become a threat. Nobody could reach enough people. So the only people who actually could be seen outside of whatever group you had at your whisk club would be the Roly-Poly Martins and the Joy Reeds and the Oprah Winfreys, the bought and paid for, approved of Negroes, who white supremacy hand-picked in order to spread the mis and disinformation among us, and of course making sure that a disproportionate number of them had no connection to America's plantations at all. Make certain that these individuals would be politically reliable. But now there's a handful of voices speaking out, with more joining us on a monthly basis, challenging things that matter, and white power's going nuts. Far as they're concerned, if we can just start censoring people, maybe that will slow this down. They know that they can't stop it. So what they're hoping for is that they can slow this process down. Because what's happened is, now that someone stepped across the line, now that a number of people have stepped across the line and started to assure the former slaves that, no, you were not alone. Sure, you don't have too many Negroes. I mean, you're not drowning in black people in your area who are on code. But the thing is, you're finding out there's a hell of a lot more of us than we thought there were. And that as we continue to work together, this message is going to grow. It's going to spread. Now, will the majority of black people get on board with it? Probably not. The majority of black people, unfortunately, are part of the useless eater class. These guys are not going to fight white supremacy. What they want is to go back to reruns of their favorite TV show, or go find out who's beefing with who in the world of hip hop. Unfortunately, a numerical plurality of black people are a lost cause. We're not worrying about them. As Jason Black said, I'm not afraid of small numbers, so long as the numbers are organized and brought enough resources to inflict their will. Are we organized? Yes. Have we brought enough resources to inflict our will? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that. Only you as a collective can answer that last part. But white power is looking at this situation and trying to figure out how they head this off at the pass. There is no leader to kill. And the ideology is already out there. Too many of you guys have heard this message. You've seen, you've witnessed its efficacy. You understand this is the right message, the direction we should have been going in all along. As Dr. John Henry Clark beautifully put it, exercise the essential selfishness of survival. And white power is trying to figure out how to get you onto something else. How do we derail this message? And they're realizing it ain't gonna happen. We were talking about white supremacy long before most people were ever thinking about it. White power's minions on radio and TV, they've been forced to come to terms with the threat we represent to white power because of the fact that too many of you are listening to us. Too many of you are hearing this message, and too many of you are repeating this message. They're understanding now that there is a growing critical mass of black people, there's a growing critical mass of the survivors of American slavery who are looking and saying, you know what, we don't want to hear what the breakfast schlubs have to say. We're not listening to Don Lemonade. We're not sitting back and hoping that maybe these guys will speak to our interests once every blue moon. It's going to be black empowerment all day, every day. And what is black empowerment? Crushing white supremacy. That's black empowerment. So we want a message, a nonstop diet of the fall of white supremacy. We want someone who's going to daily chronicle for us how we gather our strength, gather our reserves, and for some of you, gather your nerve so that you can finally stamp out the greatest evil the world has ever known. The white media is looking at that and going, man, they're not listening to our mouthpieces anymore. They're not listening to our flunkies anymore. They're not paying attention to the fakers, frauds, and phonies anymore. They were just waiting for someone or a number of people to come along speaking that truth, and that's who they're listening to. See, there are a lot of people who didn't want to get with this message. I've been out here in the vineyards for well over a decade now. 12 years ago, we were regarded as a fringe among black people. I ain't even talking about among the white supremacists. The white supremacists have always considered us to be a fringe. But we were regarded among black people as kooks. My favorite phrase that was kicked around, y'all wanna be revolutionaries talking about white supremacy. They would mock us whenever we would say white supremacy. And these were, sure, some of these clowns were in the employ of white supremacy, Negroes hoping to get some butter biscuits and a couple of crumbs off of white supremacy's table. But a lot of them were black folks who, truth be told, are brain dead, mind numbed, weak-willed morons. A lot of them were sitting there going, man, what's all this talk about white supremacy, man? You think you Martin or so? White supremacy. Ain't nobody trying to hear that, man. That's some old talk, man. That's what people were saying over a decade ago. Yeah, you said white supremacy and people rolled their eyes. They couldn't believe you were saying something so ridiculous. Who do you think you are? You think you're the Black Panthers or something? That's what people were saying a decade ago. See, when you have the ability to have extraordinary foresight and you can see, you can read the tea leaves and see where the trends are going decades before they get here, yes, what you say is going to sound very strange. But when the events finally get here, the idiots and fools who had been mocking you, all of a sudden they're silenced. Though there's a number of them who have been trying to sound like us. These freaking opportunists, these scallywags and rascals who have taken it upon themselves that they saw what we were doing and all that old stuff that Negroes were trying to do, trying to figure out how to do something other than fight white supremacy. They were going to go ahead and become some spiritual gurus, or they were going to become relationship experts, everything except for fight white supremacy. Now you got some of these clowns who are trying to sound like us, and they can't do it because we didn't just get up one morning and decide that we were going to take on white supremacy. A number of us have been out here long before YouTube, before the first web browser was a thing back in the mid-90s, some of us have been out there in the battlefield for a long time now. That's the reason why we're able to speak about these issues with such extraordinary breadth and depth, because we ain't new to it. We were talking about white supremacy back when other people were trying to find something else to talk about. This from people who did nothing but troll on the internet. They were calling us kooks and wannabe revolutionaries. Well, as Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, said, white supremacy is not going to stop trying to stamp us out. And if you decide that you're not going to organize, that's okay. White supremacy will force you to organize. White supremacy ain't going away just because you refuse to fight it. I began my own foray, where most of you heard of me, when I started trying to set the record straight about the history of Kemet as an African nation. Though I did take a brief sojourn through the battlefields of the gender wars, but you'll notice that I didn't stay there long. As you see, I did not make it a point that I was going to be trying to do some gender warring. I knew what needed to be said, and I said it. I made the definitive video essay on the gender war subject, RIP Black America. It was and is the last word on the gender wars, and I did that over a decade ago. And it was the last word about the gender wars for me. These anti-black male harpies who are trying to relive the 60s, they were a distraction, just a pitiful sideshow. White supremacy is the main target, and I was not going to be pulled off target. Nobody was going to divert me from what the actual target was. Because without white supremacy, there would be no one to support these so-called black feminists like Oprah, Alice Walker, and Toni Morrison, may she rest in hell, and all of her ilk. And these lower-level web-based wannabes, never-gonna-be black feminists, they're simply trying to get attention from white power. That's what they're about. Without white supremacy, there would be no one to give that false hope to these shea butter clowns. White power fully understands when someone wants a pat on the head for white supremacy. White power fully understands that it's used its position to shut out other groups, and that there's a lot of people from those shut out marginalized groups who desperately want into white power's circle, and they'll do anything to get admitted. This is why so many so-called swirlers always seem to have some white supremacist as a boyfriend or a husband or others, otherwise significant other. No matter how racist these guys are, the swirlers will fight to the death to stop you from speaking against their white zaddy. They're cheerleaders for white supremacy. So why would I waste time dealing with the cheerleaders for white supremacy when I can knock out team white supremacy and the cheerleaders fall by default? So we were not going to be drawn off course by white supremacy's pathetic minions and wannabes. The black media understood exactly what was required. First of all, strengthen our own ranks, and that means we have to delegitimize and completely invalidate white supremacy's black flunkies who they placed among us. The people who most of you have been listening to and taking your cues from, and the people who you let set the agenda, we had to go ahead and get you to stop listening to them. We had to go in on these guys and go in on them hard, turn them into a punchline, expose them. And so we did. The Root, Roly Poly, Joy Reid, Melissa Harris, Lacewell, Round the World in 80 Days, Perry, Who Gives a Damn? We began dismantling white supremacy's agents of control and disruption within the foundational black community. White power is still talking, but less and less black people are listening because we've identified who the agents of white power are. We put forward a substantive agenda. We have put forward a leading ideology that you guys have understood to be the right way to go. And we challenge these Negroes who are pretending, you know, these little wannabes pretending like they were speaking to your and my power, to your and my indignation, to your and my righteous rage with white supremacy. When it came time to throw down the gauntlet and say, okay, are you going to start talking like these black media types are? All of a sudden, these black bootlicks are like, they're Russian bots. They're Russian bots. They showed exactly what they were about. See, there was no need. There was never a need for us to go take on Roly Poly or to take on the rest of these fakers, frauds, and phonies directly. There was no need for us to be on their show because, first of all, their shows don't have much reach. And second of all, we're both fighting over the exact same thing, and that is mind share of the foundational black community. That's what everybody's arm wrestling over. We're arm wrestling over you guys. We don't have to win some sort of argument on air with white supremacy's black bootlicks. All we have to do is to continue to aggregate and organize our support from you. That's all we have to do. And these other clowns will wither on the vine. And that's exactly what they've been doing. White supremacy has no use for their fake sock puppet black bootlicks if they cannot substantively deceive a critical mass of you. White power and their black bootlicks have lost their ability to dictate to us what we ought to think about. And that's because we've given black people a choice, and they're choosing us. And if they've lost the ability to dictate what we think about, then they've also lost the ability to dictate what we do about ourselves. And that's the fear that they've got. They can see that one coming over the horizon, surely as day follows night. They're looking and going, man, these guys are serious about this whole tangibles thing. These guys, they're not letting up on it. And they're forcing these candidates to actually have to say the words. They're making black part of the political discourse again, and in the worst way possible, in the way of tangibles. And we're no longer able to talk around their interests. We can't talk around the issue anymore. People of color, wrong. Minorities, wrong. Inner city, wrong. Disadvantaged communities, wrong. You're not getting away with it anymore. Because there's somebody out there, not merely who's exposing these lying talking points, but there are voices who, as a collective, are now pervasive enough, broad-based enough that they can be heard by a critical mass of black people. For 50 years, we've been chasing delusions of social acceptance on the one hand and There have been black folks pursuing all sorts of gibberish about Kundalini energy and pseudo-religious mumbo-jumbo. This is what's passed for black liberation talk ever since probably the 70s. Ever since the 70s, this has been what's passed for black liberation talk. It was a circus. Well, the new voices of black media ran the circus right out of town. They didn't even have enough time to pick up tent. They just had to run for it. Black people need to understand that there's been a lot of us, and this has been going on since the 60s, there's been a lot of fools who've been trying to figure out how can they find a way to manipulate and find a way to play the foundational black community for suckers. They've been trying to figure out how they can get over on us. Black people are marks, and let's just go ahead and fleece these idiots for whatever they got, because they don't know any better. And these are supposed to be people who themselves come from our same common experience. They came out of the plantations just like us. And yet they have as much contempt and as much disdain for other foundational blacks as the worst white supremacist. So there have been a lot of guys who have been eating off of taking advantage of us and lying to us, and they've been shaking our hand with the one hand and slapping us in the face with the other. And we're putting an end to this cycle of abuse. Because a lot of these clowns, if you didn't have some fool doing some preacher man hustle, some street punk who decides that he's going to call himself a preacher now, you had other idiots trying to be pseudo-academics. Neither one of them knows what the hell they're talking about, but they do know that there were some black folks who, because there was not a voice or a number of voices centered around a guiding ideology, in order to coalesce and to aggregate our numbers, because of the fact that black folks have been thrown into disarray with the murder of so many civil rights leaders, instead of having an ideology, we had cults of personality at best. And white supremacy knew that they could kill those voices, and that would send the movement into disarray, and it would dial white supremacy in to be in the driver's seat for at least two generations, and that's exactly what happened. Now what's happening is a lot of these fools who figured, I'm going to just get in where I fit in. I'm going to go ahead and be a preacher man, hustler, and wiggle some of these draws from these single mothers in the constituency. And I'm going to talk about history. I saw that John Henry Clark dude, and he's kind of old. And man, no, I can work this the right way. We can go ahead and talk about some of these dating and courtship rituals that we used to do in the motherland. And I'll just tell some of these single mothers whatever they want to hear. And that's what's been going on. Just all kinds of chaos, all kinds of stupidity, nobody being serious. Well, if there's one thing that the new voices of black media brought back to foundational black discourse that hadn't existed before, it's the fact that you have to be serious. You can't just be out here slamming your freaking gums. The class clowns, we didn't put them in the back of the class. We kicked them out of the school altogether. And these fools who had previously been the ones who you were hearing about, you ain't hearing about them much anymore, are you? Because white supremacy's on the march. And only those who were properly positioned to take on white supremacy are going to be listened to now. Everyone else, they're going away. And that's what's supposed to happen. These are the fools out here who weren't talking about anything, who were focusing on all sorts of trivia and nonsense. They're supposed to go away. This is what should have happened 150 years ago. We should not have brought so much dead weight off the plantations with us. And that's damn sure what should have happened in the 50s and 60s. We should not have allowed so many of these stragglers, hangers-on, and so many of these turncoats to be among us. Gotta run them out. And that's what we're doing. We're not teaching our people what to think. We're teaching them how to think. The white supremacists are experts at looking miles down the road. They're experts at sniffing out any potential threat and cutting it down early before it becomes a big problem. But they don't know how to cut this problem down. We have forced our verbiage into the media before. Now it's been forced into the national political discourse. White media is looking 6 months down the road to the primaries, when the primaries finally get underway. It's one thing to do a post-mortem on a so-called surprise 2016 election turnout for Trump and then say, well, black people didn't turn out because Obama wasn't on the ballot. It's one thing to have to try to put a pretty face on the disappointing failed blue wave of 2018, but what's coming in 2020 isn't some after-the-fact shock. Joy Reid has already confessed they see exactly what's coming. She was forced to have to drop her Russian bot lie, and she ain't picked it up since. Oh yeah, she knew what she was doing. She thought that she was going to brand the reparations movement as being Russian bots. MSNBC gave her a platform, and she was going to use it to lie about black folks whose bloodline goes back to the plantations, to the killing fields of the American South. She figured she was going to lie about it. Because she heard the talk about reparations, realized she doesn't have any ancestry that goes back to the plantations, so there ain't nothing in it for her. And as far as she's concerned, hey, white power positioned her precisely where she is because her bloodline doesn't go back to the plantations. They figured that she won't be a political problem. And they were right. And don't think these scumbags have discovered religion. Not one of them is championing reparations for us. The white media template is clear. Either disparage black empowerment or just don't mention it altogether. These new voices of black media attack them, lie about them, try to find a way to throw some dirt on them, tell black people you can't trust these guys, they're Russian bots. Russian bots matters to white liberals. That don't matter to damn to black people. That's what Joy Reid and the rest of those clowns at MSNBC don't understand. That whole Russian bots thing, that might have been Rachel Maddow's bread and butter, but those Negro whispers that got brought on there, they weren't going to be able to use that. They were using the wrong ammunition and shooting at the wrong targets. And they wonder why they kept missing. Of course, nothing the white media does is going to stop us from rising. Not their black bootlicks, not their white liberals trying to cheerlead for our destruction, not the corrupt and crumbling, dissembling Democrats. Nothing is going to stop this process. We got here without white media support. White media did not make the black media. White media did not make the B1 Brigade. White media cannot destroy it. The only thing that can stop us is you. And that's the reason why I ride herd on so many. That's the reason why I make it clear. We're going to have some discipline for the first time. A lot of Negroes who believe in showing up late and bringing up the rear and well, they don't have to stay up to date. And you got to keep telling them stuff over and over again because they don't get it the first time, the fifth time, the 10th time. You Negroes have already voted yourselves off the island. And it's going to come as a shock to you when you get utterly locked out. But you should. This ain't for the slow coasts. This is not for the Johnny come latelys. You think I was joking when I said that what we require is a generation of iron? A generation forged from pure steel? The kind of people who are going to really be about that black first, if you actually met what Professor Black Truth considers to be the ideal black community, man, those people would scare the living hell out of you. They would have no patience for the slow, for the dim-witted. For those who apparently just can't be bothered, who kind of sort of want black empowerment, they would have absolutely no patience for you. Well, that's what we're going to have if I have anything to say about it. White power is no longer going to play the game of trying to keep us from what is rightfully ours. Poverty is cyclical, but so is wealth, and white power's primary mission is to take control of the resources and then monopolize them. That's what the entire goal has been since the 15th century. Now, we could easily go and take what is ours, but that's where the enforcement arm of white supremacy comes in. That's the only thing that makes it where people don't decide to take what is rightfully theirs. White supremacy has always relied on organized violence to keep those it oppresses from taking advantage of the opportunities that exist. How is it that you can have trash like Jeffrey Epstein, who's running around with $500 million, and most folks don't even know where it came from? Doesn't matter where specifically it came from. It came from white supremacy. White supremacy can just arbitrarily pick winners and losers. Doesn't matter if you never lift a finger a day in your life. White supremacy is going to give you whatever it is that resources there are. And everyone else is told, well, here are the rules by which you guys gotta get it. And the rules are always set up to make it a statistical anomaly for anyone to actually get through the obstacle course and minefield of potential pitfalls and trap doors and all the rest of it. All of these roadblocks that are put in the way because that's the way that it's set up. Instead of just saying, you know what, I don't like the game, don't like the rules, and damn sure don't like who I have to play with, so we're going to forget about this game. We play the game of whoever's got the most troops wins. Whoever's army is best organized wins, and we'll go ahead and let the issue be settled that way. Well, that's where the white media comes in. Why, that would be uncivilized. That would be un-American. They got to trick you into thinking that you got to have the approval of the powers that be. But that's only a one-way street. White supremacy has set up a game, and the so-called laws are the rules. And everyone is compelled to play the game, that is, to live by the rules that white supremacy has laid out. Refuse or try to write your own rules, and white power uses organized violence to neutralize you. So white power dictates under what terms you can earn the right to get the resources that you're entitled to. You're supposed to have the resources simply by right of birth. That ain't something you have to do anything for. You were born. That's your right. It's your birthright. And there's a system of lawmakers who write the so-called rules, but the thing is, you're not the one who chose the rules. You're told that you can tell them what rules you want, but of course they never listen to you. They listen to the white supremacists that be who selected them. And while money is the main means the white power uses to incentivize their puppets, it's also a fact that most lawmakers in the U.S. are loyal adherents of white supremacy. These bastards would fight to uphold white supremacy even if it never gave them a single dime. That's the reality. And some of you keep talking about courts and judges. There's courts who decide if the rules have been violated, but you don't get to choose the judges, do you? White power does. And the lawmakers wrote the rules so that the judges are chosen by them and not by you. And these judges can't be removed from office, or at least they tell you the judges can't be removed from office. You can remove them anytime you want. The only thing that gives the law and the lawmakers legitimacy is you. That's it. And it's no different than with the enforcement arm of white supremacy, the police. At the end of the day, the police, and you talk to any police officer, any sheriff's deputy, any FBI agent, they'll tell you that the only thing that gives them any authority is that the people let these guys do what they want because they got a badge. This guy's got a badge. He only has a handful of individuals, and yet they keep an entire nation under control because the people agree with that. And the reason why is they agree with it because they have been indoctrinated for God knows how long. That these guys are legitimate authority. And that's part of the reason why white power is terrified of anybody pointing out the misdeeds of the police, pointing out that the police are overrun with white supremacists, pointing out the institutional corruption, because when you delegitimize an institution, what happens is the people look at it and say this institution should no longer exist. And white supremacy requires organized violence. White supremacy is not about justice. It is about unrestrained brutality. But the thing is, they got to talk you into not defending yourself. They got to talk you into accepting the brutality and allowing the crooks and criminals to get away with it. They got to make you into a collaborator in your own deprivation, make you into a collaborator in your own oppression. This is the game of life, according to white supremacy's rules. It's a lie, and by playing along, you've chosen to live a lie. And the white media's job is to make it more palatable to you. Once every blue moon, they'll tell you that you're getting a raw deal, and then they point you in every other direction except at white supremacy. They want you to basically look at someone or something other than white supremacy. Instead of looking at white supremacy and saying this is the source of the problem, instead it's a matter of let's start some idiotic side conversation. Yeah, we'll have a meaningless argument about left versus right. Yeah, do you want to be slapped by the left hand of white supremacy or the right hand of white supremacy? Republican or Democrat? And you don't choose any of their members, by the way. Hey, how about conservative or liberal? Liberal? What liberties does a black person have in this country that they can take advantage of? And as for conservative, as Dr. John Henry Clark put it, what the hell has white supremacy given a black man that he is fighting to conserve? These so-called black conservatives, what the hell are you conserving? What has this country given you? So you got one group of people who are mind-numb zombies and they call themselves black liberals, and you got another group of people who are living in the land of make-believe and they call themselves black conservatives. Neither one of them are going to produce a damn thing for black empowerment. They are irrelevant, and we should regard them as irrelevant. I have no patience for either one of them. That's how you get so many of these black Democrats who show up. They'll be bombing into the comments section saying, y'all need to vote for Tulsi Gabbard. Y'all need to vote for Marianne Williams. Y'all need to vote for Kamala. She was my sorority sister back in the day. Stupid, I don't vote for a candidate. I vote for a policy. I want to know what policy I'm going to get. Voting is not supposed to be some empty civic exercise, but that's what it's been reduced to, because too many black people have made it a point that they're not going to actually show up and demand something first. You don't just show up to vote. The candidate's got to give you a reason why. Or rather, you have to tell him the only acceptable reasons you will vote. He ain't supposed to be telling you anything. It's supposed to be nothing from him except for yes, sir, yes, ma'am. That's supposed to be the only thing he says to you. Instead, you got bastards like Kamala Harris boldly telling black folks to their faces what she's not going to do. You think I'm going to do something that only benefits black people? No! And then you got Bernie the Bigot Sanders. Reparations are unfeasible. Reparations are unfeasible. Yeah, but he didn't say that the country couldn't afford the 94 crime bill. He didn't point and say, man, $13 billion just to build prisons? The country can't afford that. We need more schools. We need more funding. We need more educational grants so that kids don't have to go into debt in order to get education. That's what we need. For every school you shut down, you got to build a prison. And here we are building prisons and not even shutting down the schools yet. He didn't believe that. As far as he was concerned, the country could afford prisons, a lot more prisons. What it couldn't afford was universal education back then. That's what Bernie Sanders being. That's what he really believes. All this new Bernie Sanders, he's discovered religion. Man, the guy is just lying to you. But you got black folks out there saying we should vote for these guys. No. No, foundational blacks are done with the game of just showing up on election day. We're getting back to our roots. We're getting back to the basics. We vote for a policy, not for a politician. And nobody is out there telling us that they're going to push our policy the way that we demand that it be pushed. You're not going to come up to me and you're going to tell me, well, maybe there can be a $100 billion program or maybe a $10 billion program. What do you think you're doing? Bribing me with my own money? I did not tell you to bring me some spare change. I told you bring me every goddamn penny I'm owed. With appropriate interest. And I'm the one who decides what appropriate is, not you. Well, we figured the black vote would turn out for a little bit of pretty good money. We don't turn out for good money. We turn out for top dollar. That's how this works. We're changing the rules of the game, and we're not asking permission to do so. Everyone knows that the game is a con, has been from day one. The opportunities are there for the taking, but then there's the guys with the guns. And that's the reason why we must take the issue to the enforcement arm of white supremacy and continue to take the issue to them. That 1% who is enjoying what they stole from us, they would have nothing. They would have no means to do anything if they were deprived of the enforcement arm of white supremacy. And that's the reason why we must expose them. The only thing that's making it where people are allowing this kill squad, this group of goons with guns, to carry out these summary executions and to get away with all of this unrestrained brutality is because the public themselves have been indoctrinated with the idea that these guys represent some sort of legitimate authority. And that's the first illusion that we have to disabuse them of. But that's only part of the problem. The other half of the problem is the reason why the goons with guns are still running around in the first place. The good guys aren't organized. There's no common ideology, no common goal, no common purpose. That's the problem that the black media is addressing. And white power is looking at this and going, man, black folks are listening. Someone's finally saying the answer, and they're doing it in a collective voice that's loud enough to be heard. Our identity has been a white media fantasy pushed upon us by TV and movies and magazines and print publications and radio and a whole bunch of paid spokes liars who white supremacy puts a couple of shekels in the pockets of so they can run around the country or often around the world telling us all these lies. We have been getting a nonstop diet of white supremacist nonsense, white supremacist lies, a whole diet of deception spoon-fed to us by our enemies. This is the reason why we've been so dysfunctional. We've allowed white supremacy to indoctrinate us with what is supposed to be the appropriate response. And they've made it clear the appropriate response to white supremacy is compliance. Well, how do we react to white supremacist violence? You don't do anything. That's the first thing. You do not do anything about it. Well, how do we react to these liars who are making excuses while we're being strangled and starved for resources? How do we react? What's our response to that? Well, your response is to go to the polls on election day and you make sure you vote. That's what your response is. Well, you know, as foundational blacks, we were thinking that we should no thinking allowed. The candidates have gotten it right. Anything that you say otherwise is fringe. It's kook. It's weirdo. It's out of the mainstream. It's Russian bots. Clearly, you guys are no better than the Klan. What's all this black empowerment talk? You know, that's really no better than the white supremacists when you think about it. That's what they've been indoctrinating us with. And a lot of black folks have been listening to that because there was not a voice to the contrary. Black people felt isolated. And without hearing the voices speaking the truth, they figured, well, I don't agree with it, but I guess it's just me. Yeah, I know what this white media is telling me and their black sock puppets are telling me. I know it's not true, but I'm looking around and I'm not seeing any other black people saying it. And well, hell, one black person ain't taking down white supremacy and no one else is saying anything. So, and what happened was, what we found was, Jason Black and Tariq Nasheed have been doing their screenings of their documentaries in cities all over the world. And in no case has only one black person shown up, even in cases where the turnout was disappointing. And there have been a few of those, but even in cases where the turnout was not what we would have liked it to be, there has never been a case where only one person showed up in any of those towns. So what does that tell you? What that tells you is, the problem is you have a lot of black people who simply don't know. Ignorance of the black empowerment message happens to be one of the biggest hurdles that we have to overcome. The biggest hurdle, of course, will be getting black people to act on this information. That will always be the biggest hurdle. Second biggest hurdle, though, is getting the word out, making it where black people understand that those of us who came out of the plantations were not alone. We've known that there's something wrong. We've known what's been wrong. But we've had a white media out here that's been brainwashing black people, a relentless diet of demoralization, telling you that all of these thoughts and feelings you've had that white supremacy has to be confronted, that we're getting a raw deal and this cannot persist any longer. We got to fight back. Well, no, it's just you. It's just you. Why? Look at LeBron James. He's making it, so it must be just you. And look at Oprah Winfrey. We brag about the fact that she's one of the richest women on the planet. Why? So that means it must be just you. And hey, look at these black cherry-picked network executives. Well, it must be just you. Hey, Barack Obama became president. See, it must be just you. And if there's something wrong, why, you can rely on these black hand-picked elites that white supremacy selected. You can depend on them. They'll do something. Maybe. You see, white power fully understands the value of choosing winners and losers. That's part of the reason why you can have somebody like an Issa Rae, who ordinarily would have faded into obscurity by now, but white power understood, we got to choose, we got to elevate this one, make them prominent, and bang the drum hard as we can so that they can see this black person who we chose, and that way we can point to her and say, see, it's just you. See, there are black folks who are making the situation's not as bad as all that. You can live vicariously through these black celebrities. White supremacy understands it's not enough for them to win. They've got to guarantee that black people fail. But the voices that they were able to ignore for the last decade or so, while we were busy working, gathering that support, No matter how many roadblocks get thrown in the way, no matter how many petty, feeble, ineffective attempts white supremacy and their online media did to try to slow the message, at long last, we are seeing the first bright rays of an actual, authentic, foundational black voice. The survivors of the plantations are speaking for themselves, and white supremacy is seeing that more and more people are listening every day and that they don't have a means to counter-program. Now what they've been reduced to is, okay, we're just taking the gloves off. We're coming at these guys. We got to shut these new voices of black media up. Banning people from Facebook. Attacking YouTube channels left, right, and center. Just completely and thoroughly arbitrarily banning people from countries simply because you don't like the video that the guy made. You don't like the guy's documentary. So because of that, we got to keep you out of here. That's because at the end of the day, white power understands they might get away with it. Maybe, just maybe they can get away with it. All of this war on the new voices of black media that white power is conducting, they think they can get away with it. And why would they think that? Why would they think that they might be able to pull this off, that maybe they can pull this dirt and that, yeah, there'll be a little bit of Sturm und Drang for a hot minute, but that'll go away soon enough. Why does white power think that? It's because they think we don't have a voice that is media loud enough and with enough reach to alert the black masses to what's going on. That's one of the things that media can do. It can reach a large number of people very quickly and let them know that there's a danger afoot. It can tell the people that there's a threat looming. And white power figures that at this point, before the black media can get to the point that it's able to have enough black folks who are listening, enough black folks who are on code, enough black people who are organized and they actually do pay attention to where they're supposed to go to get their black media fix. The black folks who actually, before we can train enough black people to actually get on code when it comes simply to message discipline. And the first part of message discipline is you only listen to certain voices. That means you got to know where they're at. So before that process can take hold, before the new voices of black media can firmly and intractably establish themselves, white supremacy's got to rip this problem out at the root. No pun intended. And after 50 years of black people willingly consuming the white media's lies, would enough of them even care if the new voices of black media start getting stamped out, or would they just shrug their shoulders and say, "May, see, May, we told y'all what was going to happen, May. See, May, that's just how it is, May." Black people are always looking for any excuse, and they are excuses, that they can to throw down their arms and quit the battlefield. Black people are always looking for any excuse that they can to quit. White supremacy ain't even got to attack you. Just the fact that when black people are told they got to fight, all of a sudden, they're looking for any reason that they can not to, and to try not to have to call themselves cowards afterwards. This goes beyond cowardice. And it's time that you heard a black man call it what it is. This is cowardice. On the behalf of you who just are always looking for any excuse to quit, you're cowards, and I don't want you among me. You're not going to be here among the B1 Brigade. You are not part of Team Black Empowerment, and we're going to root you out. Having a black media matters. And by black media, I mean a real one, not some white media front company with some front Negroes fronting like they're speaking for us. Does it matter? Does it matter if we have a media of our own? Well, that depends. Do you think it matters whether you have a voice or not? As I explained in my classic video, Why Roger Ailes Isn't Going Away, Roger Ailes had been trying to start a right-wing news TV station since at least the 70s. Problem was, there simply wasn't enough interest from the rank-and-file white conservative citizen to support such an idea. In political terms, the white right may have needed their own media outlet, but they hadn't politically matured to the point where they wanted it. And as the survivors of the plantations, we suffer from a similar problem. We have to accept the reality of the situation that we're in. Black people are hideously oversampled when it comes to TV and movie consumption. We are constantly trying to escape the pain of white supremacy through entertainment, and it's not working. This is why nerd culture is so ingrained, and why this is why those black nerds are so freaking rabid when it comes to their little so-called preoccupation. These guys think that they have escaped into a world of fantasy, and they're not about to have you bring them back to the real one. You want to know why? Because it would hurt too much for them to admit that so many of their buddies and pals at the local comic book shop, or at the sci-fi convention, or at the comic book convention, or this or that group online, it would hurt for them to admit, man, you guys are no better than Richard Spencer. A lot of those white comic book geeks, they were out there with the freaking alt-right. To them, that's their idea of playing out a superhero fantasy. Call it Captain Klansman. And he's fighting the war against the Negro tide. A lot of those clowns online, especially for first-person shooter video games, whether it's Halo or Call of Duty, man, you'll have these people on there, young white people, by the way, just constantly a nonstop torrent of racist verbiage. One of the biggest YouTubers on the planet, PewDiePie, this guy constantly dropping the N-bomb every chance he gets. This is something that Negro nerds don't want to have to accept. They are every bit as foolish as the swirlers or the shea butter crowd. A lot of them think that because they're not as ridiculous about what they say as a David Clark or as any of these black mouthpieces for conservatism, they think that because they're not like that and that they hang around with a mostly allegedly liberal or left-leaning crowd, that apparently that somehow makes them different, and it doesn't. You, just because you're not hanging around with the Fox News crowd does not mean that you are not in some corner of the white supremacist media machine. And a lot of your new pals, they're not on the same page as you. You look at it as nothing more than escapism. They look at it as an allegory for how they're going to get rid of black people. You can go back to Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. Yeah, he was a linguist, but like most linguists, he was also an amateur historian. And he wrote Lord of the Rings as a racial allegory. The so-called orcs were supposed to be black people. And to a lesser degree, Asians, but they were supposed to be mostly black people. That's who the orcs were supposed to represent. And of course, J.R.R. Tolkien was very much obsessed with the idea of the Nordic ideal. That's the reason why he used Nordic mythology and not Celtic mythology as the undergirding for Lord of the Rings. He knew exactly what he was doing with that nonsense. He knew exactly what he was up to. And you know what? Most of the white readership of Lord of the Rings, they understood that too. Part of the reason why they like it so much. They like the fact that, hey, here's the popularization of a white supremacist idea. Here's the popularization of we have to fight the niggers. They like that. They know exactly what Lord of the Rings is about. Now, you might be confused about that. You might have told yourself, oh no, the orcs don't represent black people, but please, you let these white geeks get amongst themselves. Or maybe if they're right in front of you, for some of them who are bold enough, and they'll tell you, yeah, they represent black people. And these are the same white geeks, by the way, who couldn't stand Black Panther. As far as they were concerned, well, why should there be black people in an African nation, a fictional African nation? Well, why should there be white people in a fictional Nordic nation? See, your ability to be able to pretend as if the media shows you watch and the TV shows and the video games, whatever arena of fictional white media that you happen to have glommed onto, your ability to pretend as if it's some colorblind corner of the country, that's only you. You're playing a game with yourself. And the white media will encourage this delusion because it renders you harmless, and it also means that you're not going to do anything when white supremacy brings out the knives against you. Well, that's fine, and we're not going to lift a finger when white supremacy comes after you either. Look, when it comes to entertainment, I fully understand that a temporary reprieve is okay. It's all right if you take some time for this or that show, but when you start investing in it heavily and you start trying to convince yourself that what you're seeing on that screen is somehow real, and you start deciding that this is going to become some sort of fixation for you, you're trying to escape through it, and you don't have that luxury. But most Black folks are trying to live in the TV shows and movies and video games and novels that they watch and read. Too many of us don't want to get serious with the white supremacists. And even though they're going on open rampages, apparently for some of us that ain't enough. I will blame the white media for this entropy to the extent that they're responsible for it. But once you understand that there is this pernicious, lying influence trying to get you to sit on your hands while white supremacy wipes you out, at that point, you're supposed to get up and do something about it. You're supposed to disengage from the white media as much as you disengage from the phony baloney anti-Black so-called electoral process. Just look at the recent attacks on the Black media in the last week alone. The broadcast and online white media haven't said boo about it. As the mouthpieces of white power, they want us gone. Now, while they can't scour us from the internet, they can use their total control of the cyber commons websites like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, in order to stall our growth. And that's because the main reason that we actually are stuck in this tit-for-tat with these white supremacist websites is largely because that's where so many Black people have already aggregated at. And when you start telling Black people you got to go elsewhere, what they'll start saying is, it's amazing that you had the Haitian Revolution. Look at how much they sacrificed for that, what they had to do for that. Nat Turner, look what they had to sacrifice for that. And all you do is tell Black folks, make sure that you keep up with me on Twitter so you can stay up to date, and that's too much for them to do. Or you tell Black people, hey, we're going to have outlets of our own, websites of our own. These are going to have to be the meeting spots. See, the white supremacists got they have their act together. They don't make excuses for staying in places where they're under attack. And that's the reason why you got white media outlets just now who are saying, hey, what about this 8chan thing and this Daily Stormer thing? And what about these other places? Yeah, because what's happened is white supremacy understands, their membership understands that they don't ever want to get too comfortable in some place. If some place doesn't allow them to do exactly what they want to do, we got to make one of our own. A lot of Black folks will sit there and tell themselves, well, I don't know if we can go to some other place. I'm telling you that you can't afford not to. I'm telling you that you can't afford to stay in places where you're constantly under attack. But unfortunately, so many Black people, what can only be called pure laziness. Well, after I listen to Professor Truth, it's too much trouble for me to have to actually bookmark YouTube. If you got to actually be on YouTube, I guess it's too much trouble for you to decide, well, I gotta be able to watch the new Avengers trailer next. That's amazing to me, because you wouldn't have a problem going from YouTube to Netflix, now would you? And you wouldn't have a problem then going to Hulu, or to HBO Go, or to whatever else. You wouldn't have a problem switching from website to website to website then. And Professor Truth is not on Netflix, not on Hulu, not on HBO Go, or any other streaming service. And yet you wouldn't have a problem bouncing from website to website then, but all of a sudden Professor Truth says, we're going to have one of our own, and all of a sudden, well, I don't know. Yeah, a lot of Black folks are going to be showing that they're going to be demonstrating to everyone that Black empowerment isn't for them. And that also means that survival will not be for them. The Black people who fail the adaptability test at this crucial moment, they're also going to fail the survival test too. White power is starting to have its back put to the wall, and we're the ones putting their backs to the wall. If they can't beat us outright, at the very least, they're going to try to forestall the inevitable. The new voices of Black media are putting the pressure on. Even without voting, even refusing to back a candidate, we're having an impact on the election. The candidates realize they have to do something if they want Black people to re-engage with their phony, baloney, empty process. and we're not letting them talk around our interest. And every time they have to mention it, it becomes more and more dangerous because more and more people are hearing that. We're engaged, we're vocal, we're elbowing our way into the political discourse, but we'll be damned if we're going to vote without a candidate who pledges to get our tangibles as we demand them. In other words, we're going to be the ones calling the shots. We will be the ones setting policy. For over a decade, I've been telling you about the absolute necessity of building our own authentic Black media ecosystem. Now, we're not there yet, but we're getting there. And we did it the right way, by making you, the intelligent and active portion of the Black public, into part of the process. Rachel Maddow represents a bankroll. Roger Ailes represents a bankroll. The New Voices of Black Media represents the streets, which have been ignored for too long, but we found our voice, and we're using it. But family, we're going to have to step up our efforts from here. This is nowhere near the best that we can do, and it's not the best that we're going to be able to do. The effort that we put out so far, this is nothing more than a good first step. We got a hell of a long journey ahead of us, so it's time to get marching. Having a passive on-again, off-again support for Black media, that's not going to be sufficient from here. Those who are spectators or who just want to see someone clap back at the white supremacists online, these people are dead weight. These are the Black people looking for entertainment. Well, you guys need to keep on looking, because I don't do politically oriented entertainment. And I don't suffer fools, spectators, or hangers-on. Black empowerment, the B1 Brigade, this is for the doers. While these other groups have been getting their wake-up call, don't think white supremacy's forgotten about us. Sure, white supremacy will bring these other groups in for some abuse, but that's just them giving those guys a wake-up call. Everyone else are just a sideshow. Destroying foundational Blacks, that has always been white supremacy's number one top priority. That has always been front of mind for them. They think about it when they wake up. They think about it when they're eating breakfast. They think about it on the job. They think about it when they go to bed and they dream about it. It is a 24/7 obsession for them. And why is it that they have this unholy fixation on us? Why is it that they are just obsessed with foundational Blacks? It's because we, and only we, are going to topple white supremacy. Nobody else is going to do it. They have already gamed this one out. They understand that if white supremacy is going to fall and they don't see a way to sustain it, but if white supremacy is going to be taken down, they know that we are the ones who will do it. It's not going to come from any of these other groups. We are the only threat to white supremacy. Everyone else is just looking for a comfortable place underneath it. And don't ever fool yourself into thinking that just because white supremacy has harmed these other groups, that somehow this is now going to make them want to oppose white supremacy. Who's been on the front lines? Us. A lot of people have been eating off of white supremacy to the point that many of them think that they're on the team. And they don't have a plan B. As they see it, they have to find a way to get white supremacy off their backs or to otherwise find some way to make peace with white supremacy. They're not going to walk away from these little slaps on upside the head the white supremacy is giving them. They're not going to walk away from this abuse wanting to destroy white supremacy. Instead, they're going to be looking to preserve what little they think white supremacy has given them. They are as dependent on the racial hierarchy as Richard Spencer. White supremacy has no permanent plans for these guys. They think they're on team white supremacy, but in reality, all they're really on is team anti-Black. And for a lot of them, though, that's good enough. They don't mind white supremacy kicking them around from time to time. They'll put up with that just so long as white supremacy gives them someone who they can abuse. And we're supposed to be the whipping boy for everyone. Class structure is meaningless to us because our problem isn't class, but for the white community, class is their primary preoccupation when it comes to so-called social justice. Now, while that may be okay for them, it's irrelevant for us. But white supremacy learned a long time ago that it didn't have to give monetary benefits to its adherents. Just to get them to toe the line, psychic benefits can be every bit as effective as money. In fact, psychic benefits can be even more effective than money. Lyndon Johnson said it best, if you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. In 1929, during the Great Depression, a plurality of white people in this country lost their life savings, lost their livelihoods, they lost all their monetary gains, and yet they didn't lose their support and their appetite for white supremacy. In 2008, it happened again. They lost their homes, lost their savings, lost their kids' college money, but didn't lose their appetite for white supremacy, didn't lose their appetite for anti-black racism. Because the tangible benefits that white supremacy has given to those of a certain skin color, that's only half of the equation. The psychic benefits that you're better than black people, the non-stop constant drumbeat of you're the winners, you are normal. White means normal. White means human. Everybody else, not so much, especially black people. The idea of that white identity as given to them by white supremacy, disseminated through the white media, that to them is every bit as much important as the money. So that's the reason why you didn't see white people in the streets saying white supremacy's got to be torn down, it's got to go. Far as they're concerned, nah, if white supremacy goes, well, that means that I'm not better than a black person. Well, you're not going to tell me that. See, white supremacy won't let the rank and file white citizen talk back. Won't let them exercise any power over the elites, but it will let them attack us day and night. That's their consolation prize. And it is precisely this perk to being on team white supremacy that keeps so many of the disenfranchised whites, it keeps so many white people who are in poverty and these other non-foundational groups, that's what keeps them toeing the line. Because white supremacy gives them psychic benefits. Okay, you can't challenge white power above you, but there's always these people at the bottom, these former slaves. You can go ahead and take out your aggressions on them. Why, you can treat them the way that white supremacy, that the white elites treat you. Doesn't that make you feel better? You know, it's kind of a distinction without a difference when you think about it. Okay, maybe you're not at the top, but hey, you're not at the bottom either. Black oppression. Black denigration, anti-black racism, that is the essential component of the glue that holds this racist pyramid scheme calling itself a society together. Take away the black oppression, take away their ability to oppress us, and this whole damn thing falls apart in an instant. White blue-collar types, they ought to be the main ones wanting to take down white supremacy, but to believe that they would do that is to ignore something that they realize that most black people simply refuse to accept. They know that whatever inconvenience that they may have to occasionally suffer, it's accidental. If they lose their home, that was accidental. If they lose their savings, well, that was just collateral damage. Whatever losses that the white community suffers economically, they know that that wasn't the way things were supposed to go. They know that that's not how the system's engineered to be. That's part of the reason why they raised so much hell about it. It's like, hey, y'all made a mistake. And they know that that mistake will be addressed. Our position, on the other hand, is different. Our position at the bottom is engineered and enforced, viciously enforced. And most people don't see it because they take all their cues from the white media, who makes nothing but excuses for it and justifies it. You know, it's long been said that the white media are the cultural gatekeepers. To us, this makes them oppressive, but to white power, the government, the enforcement arm of white supremacy, these guys look at the white media's gatekeeping as reassurance. They understand the white media is going to keep the barbarians, that's foundational blacks, at the gates, but they'll never be able to get in because white media is going to be gatekeeping. The dirty dealings that white supremacy carries out are never going to make it to light because the white media won't allow it to. And on the off chance that something does manage to get through some crucial information white supremacy wanted suppressed manages to leak anyway, then the white media will simply ignore it. They'll drown it out with irrelevant infotainment and distractions. Or they will attack whomever is exposing white power's sick behavior. Or if all else fails, they'll just ignore it. We're moving on. News cycle's over. We're moving on. When Ronan Farrow did his first story about Harvey Weinstein, he originally took it to NBC, who promptly refused to run it. And that's how you know power doesn't merely respect power. Power protects power. The white media are indeed the gatekeepers, and white supremacy's early warning system for internal threats, and there is no threat greater than black empowerment. They try to demonize us, spread disinformation about us, suppress all news about us. This is done in order to try to discourage other black people from joining us. Because otherwise you got a full-scale slave revolt, and well, white power can't have that now, can they? And when that fails, they do it as a means to justify to the society whatever attack is going to come from the enforcement arm of white supremacy. They get to set up white supremacy's attacks on us, and they claim, well, these guys are dangerous. What makes them dangerous? We couldn't suppress their truth. They were telling the truth, and we couldn't stop them. That makes them dangerous. This way, they don't have to worry about any bleeding hearts saying that white power did something wrong. Not that that's ever been much of a threat. But if the white media are indeed the gatekeepers, then why is it that nobody ever asks who exactly the white media is guarding the gate against? Well, they're definitely not guarding it against white iconoclasts. Hell, the white media will gladly give those guys a TV show. You see, your good white liberal pals like Rachel Maddow, these people are nothing more than a form of controlled opposition. Because they'll only go so far and absolutely no farther. And when you show up saying, hey, what about this? I mean, the next logical step for you to go to, Rachel, would be this. The next thing you know, they bring in Joy Reid. They got their black-skinned sock puppet to say, these are Russian bots. They're the fringe. They're no better than Richard Spencer. See, Rachel Maddow knows that she can't do that. So they keep Joy Reid on the payroll so that she could do that for them. When has the white media ever given a platform to a true-to-the-game black empowerment type? Never. You can find black buffoonery 24/7, black buck dancing, black bed wenching, black idiocy and irrelevance of every stripe, pattern, and spot. But someone given the goods on how to destroy white supremacy's power source, its economy, that is forbidden. White supremacy knows what threatens its interest, and they are hyper-vigilant about protecting the gates from us. We are the ones who the white media is gatekeeping against. They are the gatekeepers, and we're the ones that they're trying to keep away from the gates. They don't want anything that will even remotely lead people in our direction. All Arsenio Hall did was bring Farrakhan on his show once, and white supremacy said, that's it, you're done. And let's be frankly honest, okay? Louis Farrakhan may be a good orator, but he never turned his platform into a launch pad for black group economics. He didn't. Knock it off. Let's stop the insanity. If anyone should have been leading the charge, it should have been him. He sees his position as a money-making opportunity for himself. Yeah, he may say some good stuff from behind the pulpit, but at some point, isn't that supposed to be translating into widespread action? Otherwise, we didn't have to wait until the 21st century for a black media. Could have had it in the 20th. Yeah, but that's not what they wanted. What they want, because many of these Negroes, especially these black baby boomers, these civil rights retreads, what these guys were looking at was, they looked at civil rights as being a means to get black people to support them on something. And they would use that black support as a launch pad to a life of comfort and wealth for themselves. And what would black people get? Good question. What would we get? Not a damn thing. And that's the reason why Big Bird, far as he was concerned, he's going to talk that black village stuff, whoa, you know, for the people. Negro, you ain't been for the people a damn day in your worthless life. Meanwhile, they give whatever platform white supremacy supplies them with, they use that as a means to boost and to amplify and to make prominent people who fight against our interests. White supremacy knows the game, and they know that there's plenty of clowns out there who will play it with them. What the new voices of black media represent is something fundamentally different. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to water down the message, and we're not going to stop. White supremacy hears us, and it fears us, and it should. That's the reason why I entitled this evening's video address, Fear of a Black Media. There's a reason why we had to wait this long for this to happen. I guess this was something that as a group we just had to go through. Black people would eventually turn to black empowerment after they tried everything else. But now that we got black folks going in the right direction, we're not going to let any backsliding take place. The people who are on the bull jive or the people who just shouldn't have been here in the first place, you're going to be dismissed. The ones who are not built for this, you're going to be gone. We are not going to put up with any white supremacist attacks from without, and we're not going to tolerate any backsliding or weakness from within. For a lot of you, this is going to be very different, because when you get to deal with the Breakfast Schlubs and you get to deal with Wendy Williams, they shuck and jive for you, and that's good enough. You're not used to a black media that actually imposes standards upon the audience, because truth be told, audience is a word that goes for people who are supposed to be passive, just sitting there, just like a bunch of mind-numbed zombies. There is no audience here. There are only supposed to be fellow travelers. This is a movement, so don't expect that you're going to be standing still. You got to get up and put in some work. And that's what white power fears the most. A newly emboldened and mobilized foundational black polity marching in our own interest. They are afraid of that. They have been living in mortal terror of this for 150 years. Well, don't you think that it's way past time that we made their worst nightmare to come true? Black media is your voice, but the voice only can speak as loudly and as powerfully as you empower it to be. Our source is not white supremacy. Our source is you. And what has been done up until this point has been good, but let's be honest, it's not enough. Not enough by half. We have the ability to take down white supremacy, but just understand, this is not going to be a fast process and it won't be easy. It will require us to sacrifice, because that's going to be the cost of victory. Power is not some static thing. It has its own intelligence, its own mind, its own standards. It demands things from those who want it. Power has demands. And when you are making it clear that a bunch of white supremacists who have seized all power, that these guys have to be defeated, then power is going to look at you and say, then you got to be prepared to give everything for this. You see, Rupert Murdoch understood the importance of making sure that he wrote a check for a man who was going to say what he wanted. Roger Ailes didn't mind being the boogeyman for the white liberals. He didn't mind being under constant attack, but he needed to know that Rupert Murdoch wasn't going to welch on him. He needed to know that Rupert Murdoch wasn't going to start watering down the message when the heat got hot. When people didn't like what was being said on Fox News, he needed to know that Rupert Murdoch was going to put the resources behind their venture to ensure that those cable outlets didn't pull out. And Rupert Murdoch made it very clear, I am fully committed to this. When Richard Spencer made it clear that he was going to begin his white supremacist offensive, he needed to know that William Regnery was not going to cut ties with him, wasn't going to cut his funding, was not going to leave his white supremacist mouthpiece cut adrift. He needed to know that, and William Regnery made the necessary assurances. When Steve Bannon left Wall Street, left Goldman Sachs, he needed to know that Robert Mercer wasn't going to try to turn Andrew Breitbart's little online sewer into something other than a full-throated, full-in-the-face white supremacist hellhole. He needed to know that Robert Mercer, if his name ever got put out there as the financier for Steve Bannon's white supremacist media jihad, that Robert Mercer wasn't going to let his knees buckle. Robert Mercer gave the necessary assurances. Now, the bad guys are propped up by big money. But the thing is, when you're trying to prop up a lie, you kind of need to go overboard with the resources. See, if I'm trying to convince somebody that this plastic tree that I put in the middle of their yard is a real tree, then what's going to have to happen is I'm going to have to do a whole lot of extra stuff. I'm going to have to, first of all, get some real fruit to put on that tree. I'm going to have to glue that fruit to the tree. No, don't worry about the fact that the apples smell faintly of super glue. You know, that's how they grow this time of year. And when the leaves, I'm going to have to go bring leaves from some real trees and glue them onto the tree. And, well, it's going to look like fall every 3 weeks because the freaking leaves are going to turn yellow and die within days. So I got to keep coming back and putting some new fake fruit on the trees and some new fake leaves. And, oh, as far as the tree itself, yeah, I know it feels kind of plasticky, but, you know, that's just the way that some of these trees are. You see, when you're trying to prop up a lie, you wind up having to do 10 times as much work to prop it up. You need 10 times as many resources to perpetuate the lie and to keep it going. But when you've got the truth, all you need is a seed, some water, sunlight, and a little bit of fertile soil, and that thing will take care of itself. You ain't got to do quite as much. Well, that's the advantage that we have. We represent the truth, the black truth. A truth that has been suppressed and ignored and denied for far too long. The bad guys have brought massive resources. We don't need to have as much resources as the Rupert Murdochs and the Robert Mercers and the William Regneries, but we do require a sufficient requisite amount of resources. Please do not think that the black media is going to be able to prevail over the white media with nothing. You can't go to war empty-handed. And you don't want the black media going to war empty-handed. This is the time to show our strength. This is the time for us to flex on these bastards and show them what we're capable of. These attacks that they've been delivering against us, this is a good sign. What it shows is, yes, everything we've said about them has been accurate. We told you that they were going to try to get the black media out of the paint before the primary. They got to stop the tide of history that we represent, the political revolt that we have set off. Because what's happening is some of these other Negroes who are seeing that what we're saying is coming out of the mouths of major presidential candidates. Now there's going to be a lot of these wannabes and hangers-on. Some of these clowns out here who used to be talking about Kundalini energy. Now all of a sudden they're going to want to be talking about annual installments for tangibles. They're going to try to pretend like they know something about this. So they're going to be out there spouting this message. It's simply going to, as an affectation, spread to some others. They won't be around for the long haul, but for white power, it's like, well, the problem is they'll be around, period, trying to figure out what they can get out of this. But family, we got to keep this one nice and tight. We got to keep this circle select. We can't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry coming along trying to pretend like he's B1, trying to pretend like he's part of this black empowerment sphere. We can't have that. What we have got to have is your full-throated support. Get suited and booted. You make sure that the black media is not going to be drowned out, that the black media doesn't wither on the vine. White power is testing us. It's testing you. They're trying to figure out how serious you are about this. They already know how serious the new voices of black media are, but they know that there is no media spokesman, no matter how able, no matter how dedicated, no matter how uncompromising, there is no media spokesperson or media outlet or media ecosystem that can survive without resources. Our resources are not going to come from the well-heeled. The Negroes who have gotten their money from white supremacy or who consider themselves to be otherwise accepted by the mainstream, they're not coming over here with us because we're talking about toppling the mainstream. As far as they're concerned, well, hell, that means you're trying to topple me too. Well, it depends. Are you part of white supremacy? Damn right I am. White supremacy gave me everything. And, you know, that's the reason why these clowns, these black bootlicks in the white media and outside of it, they're going to fight to the death to protect white supremacy. Because black empowerment, to them, they are every bit as contemptuous as black empowerment as Richard Spencer is. Every bit as contemptuous of us as Ronald Reagan was. They share the exact same attitude of, well, the only Negro who needs to be out here speaking is me. If we get our act together, what happens to all of them is going to be what happened to Roly Poly. They saw what happened to him. They saw that we toppled and we took him down. We broke the backs of those black bootlicks. And a lot of these other fools out here who got paid off of white supremacy, they're looking and going, well, hell, if you did that to them, you probably think that we're no better. And they're right. We think that they're no better than these black bootlicks in the white media. And yeah, there's no place in a newly resurgent black foundational black polity for any of these clowns. But here's the thing. We don't need them. How did Jay-Z become an alleged billionaire? He got his money from you. How did LeBron James become big money? Because of you. You're the source, not them. I wouldn't waste my time going to the guy who mops the floors when I could go to the guy who owns the building, and that's you. You've got power you don't even know about because you haven't used it. It's past time that you do. Because ultimately, what white supremacy fears is not the black media. They fear the resurgent foundational black polity behind it. You're the ones who they're truly afraid of. That fear is not only well justified, but it is up to you to make sure that that fear is manifest.